talking about our third shiur in our series on Mesilas Yesharim. We are, I apologize that some of the sheets got messed up. We will hopefully be able to develop a couple of good ideas. We know from the Ramchal in the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim, we know from the Ramchal there that the Ramchal critiques what he perceives to be a major problem. This is a problem that you find also in the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos, a critique that the Chovos HaLevavos mentions. It's Ha'aretz that we find in a lot of different contexts, which is as follows. There was a critique that lots of people were learning Torah, but they were not developing it properly in other areas. There are people that maybe learned well during the week, but were a little bit sloppy on the weekends. There are people that, you know, maybe they were good as far as some of their rigorous analysis of learning, but they were not developed sufficiently in the world of Yira, in the world of Ahava, in the world of Benadam L'Chaveiro. They just did not have it down pat whatsoever. And that's a critique that's there. So there's an article in source number 3, just the link to it, Dr. Free, who's a Chassidish guy, who's a professor in Stern, about, in general, why that happens sometimes. How is it possible that you have people who learn, and the learning doesn't transform them into being radically different people? For example, part of my wife's research in getting her dissertation was on bullying in monorthodox middle schools. And one of the depressing elements of that research is the fact that the bullying rates in monorthodox middle school, and the same thing's true in yeshivish places, is no different than the bullying rates in general society. That we don't see radical difference between the people who are learning, you know, a couple hours a day and the people who are not learning a couple hours a day. It doesn't necessarily automatically transform you into being a person that is suddenly, you know, the Benam L'Chaveiro is a different ballgame. That all those things are radically different. It's not something that we find necessarily. And that's a critique of Mesilas, that's a critique that the Mesilas Yesharim offers, that lots of people who are learning seriously, we don't see that transforming into their other areas of their lives, and therefore he recommends learning Mussar. Mussar is how we're going to be able to transform ourselves from people who just learn to people who are great people. That learning alone can't necessarily do it. We're going to approach today two different approaches to Limud HaMussar. One of them that comes in the world of Chassidus, and the other that we'll talk about is opposition to the Mussar movement as a whole. We'll first talk about Chassidus a little bit. We'll mention 4 points as far as Chassidus' relationship. The relationship of Chassidus to Mussar in general. And then we'll talk about the opposite to the Mussar movement. The first source, Tzavas HaRivash, section 4 in the sheet. The Baal Shem Tov. Insight to the Baal Shem. So the Baal Shem said as follows. Tzavas HaRivash liyos tamim ba'avodaso yisvarach avodat tama v'ikr shlolish koach hadvarim. That what we have to try to do is be complete in our avoda. The ikir lomo b'chol yom shir musar hein rav hein ma'at. The Baal Shem Tov writes that every day a person has to learn some musar, whether it's a little bit or whether it's a lot. He's taking sides on the issue of last week as far as how much you have to do. For the Baal Shem Tov, the point, it doesn't really matter how much you're doing it. A little bit here or a lot there. What does matter is that it's something which occurs every single day. And what it seems to be connected to is the Hemshech, the lyrics is Atmo Tamid Lidabik as Atmo Bamidos Tobos Van Hagos Yisharos Vesholoyani Avshim Yomi Asiyas Mitzvah Hin Kal Hin Chamura. That the purpose of Musar, I'm learning Musar, and that's helping me cultivate a certain amount of Dveikus, a certain development of character traits and proper actions. And what the Baal Shem establishes is that really Musar is something which is totally necessary. The second point is something we find in the Alter Rebbe's Hakdama to Sefer HaTanya. For those learning Tanya, they are, I'm sure, familiar with this Hakdama, because the Limud of Tanya, I think, really starts from the way beginning, from the Haskamas and from the Hakdama, not necessarily from Perek Aleph. Is that how we're doing it? Okay. In Tanya Yomi, I think it starts already from the beginning. The Haskamas, the Hakdama, it's all part of the Limud. But if you didn't, so this is what I'm doing right now. I don't know if it's on the Bechina, but this is, I'll give you some of the Hakdama. So the Alter Rebbe in the Hakdama, like most Hakdamas, is describing for you the why he wrote the book. What's going on here? So he writes that there are, the first step is the Yesod that you find, and I believe some of the Bali Musar, but you certainly find it in Chassidus. The Alter Rebbe has it here, Rabbi Nachman has it in Likutei Moran. which is in Imodazos Kimarga the Pume the Inshi, the Chol Anash, Ki Eno Domeshmi Astivim Musar Liriya Vikriya Bisvarim. Musar is very different, and this again you find this a bit more in Chassidus, I think. Musar is something which is involves live interaction, not reading it in a sefer, or he, I assume he would say listening to it just in a recording, but in the ideal sense, Musar for the Alter Rebbe involves actual human interaction. It involves, in Rabbi Nachman also, it involves the interaction between a Rebbe and a Talmud. That we already see some of the Chassidus here, which that we're playing up the Tzaddik. We're not just playing up the Tzaddik's Torah in Chassidus, but in Chassidus we're playing up the interaction between Tzaddik and Chassid. We're playing up that level of interaction. Learning is not just about sitting down and reading a sefer a lot of time, but it involves much more of that kind of active interaction. Something we find a bit less of in the Musar movement, in the sense that Musar for Yisrael certainly involves shmuzin, but a lot of the Iker Musar involves you sitting down with a sefer. You sitting down with a sefer in a separate room. The ideal form is to have it be ish mi pi ish, to hear it in a certain sense directly. In the Hakdama, he goes on to tell us something else, which is that there are two kinds of Musar Sfarim. There are Musar Sfarim that are primarily written al pi secha. There are Musar Sfarim that are written based on what a person thinks logically makes the most sense and is the most compelling. Chovas Halavavos is a sefer which seems to be categorized in that camp. It's a sefer where a lot of the insights are predicated on our own deep thought, rational thinking about how a person is supposed to develop, how a person is supposed to grow. There are other kinds of Musar Sfarim, says the Alter Rebbe, that are built much more on Midrashei Chazal. Sifrei Musar, Asher Yisodosam, Bahari, Kos, Midrashei Chazal, Asher Ruach Hashem, Dibur Bam. There are other kinds of Musar Sfarim based much more on Chazals, based much more on Midrashim and Zohars. Those are two kinds of Musar Sfarim. Chassidus, this I guess is our third point. Number one, we spoke about Musar every day, that's the Baal Shem. Musar two is that it's supposed to be live. This third point we have, as far as Musar, there are two kinds of Musar Sfarim. Chassidus heavily favors one of them. Chassidus does not favor those Musar Sfarim based on Seichel, at least alone. Chovas Halavavos is much less encouraged in Chassidus Sfarim, at least to be the only thing that you learn. Things like Rambam also, for your Musar, it's something which is really not going to... Things that are directly based on Mamari Chazal, they're quoting a lot more Mamari Chazal. The sefer that gets quoted and emphasized could be much more than most, as far as a Musar sefer in Chassidus, is the sefer Reishis Chachma. Reishis Chachma is based in large part on Zohar. It's a lot of Midrash, it's a lot of Chazals. And Reishis Chachma is the sefer that Chassidim emphasize. If you look in source number 7, again, from the Alter Rebbe of Chabad, you have it in... You have it from Rabbi Aaron Carliner also, if you look a little bit above. The Seder Rov Limudo Yeh Bezohar V'Medrash Achkodem Atzfil Yeh Limudo Bereishis Chachma Shara Tshuva V'Sof Shara Yira V'Sof Shara Kedusha. Reishis Chachma is a little bit of a scary sefer at times. This is really not what we would assume about Chassidus. Reishis Chachma, remember we had a shiur last year on one of these days when we were chazering. We had a shiur about what Gehenim is and things like that. There's a Reishis Chachma on the Mar Makomos. He's one of the ones that more than most goes through a discussion of what Gehenim is like. It's so intense. I remember we had this year last year. I didn't read it even out loud. It's not necessarily the Avoda in particular of our generation to be that sort of scared. But if you look in the Igros HaKodesh, look at what Musar is doing for the Alter Rebbe. Why am I reading it? Bechdei lahachnis yagon v'anacha v'lishbor halev alavonosa. Part of Liman Musar in Chassidus, we think Chassidus is only about Simcha. Chassidus, that's all it is. Dveikus and Simcha. That's really an oversimplification. It may be primarily about Simcha, but when there's a Liman Musar, so here for the Alter Rebbe, the Liman Musar is one which is about, in a certain sense, breaking you a bit. It's about Shivron Leiv. It's about bringing in some Yagum V'Anacha. It's about bringing in some, you know, things are not so are not always so great. It's about challenging you a bit. Maybe we don't go as far, but in the previous source, in the Hanhagas of Aaron Carliner. If you learn Reish Chachma, that's great. You should do it all the time. do everything it says there, except all the fasts don't do, all the sigufim. You don't have to go so far with like actually tormenting your body. But other than that, the musr, in some of the chassidim at least, is a musr which is not everything is great, dance with joy. The musr of the chassidim at times, it's for some of the chassidim, it's much rarer. If you're looking at a letter about the Rebbe, don't do it all the time. It's not your ikar limud. But a little bit before davening, just to get you started a little bit. A little bit before davening, just to it's okay to have that feeling sometimes of shivron lev. It's okay to have that feeling. Not too much that it ruins my simcha. But that's really what it is supposed to be about. That's our third point as far as musr and chassidus. We learn musr and chassidus. Better if you do it with real interaction. Three, there are different kinds of musr sfarim. Reishis Chachma is a big sefer for the chassidim. In some versions, for the people learning Tanya even, I think the Alter Rebbe said, better to learn Reishis Chachma if you haven't, before learning Tanya, if you haven't yet done Reishis Chachma. But I think the minhag is to be mekel, I think. The fourth point is an important one, and here again, we're staying within Chabad for now. We'll talk more about other chassidim in a couple of weeks when we move on to different topics. But what's the difference between musr and chassidus? What really is the difference? Chassidim have a musr sefer, a musr seder. It's a reishis chachma, it's getting you a bit more down. Like musr, and like we saw in the Ramchal last week, in chassidim, Talmud Torah, for many of them, is not the top of the hierarchy. Everything's not about building towards Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah may only be a hechsher, may be there primarily to establish a kind of dveikus, a kind of closeness with Hashem. Talmud Torah is something which, and mitzvot as a whole, in the Zohar, mitzvot are tariyag eitin, eitzus to get us closer to Hashem. The purpose of much for chassidim is dveikus. They, similar to Musar, are not only focusing, or similar to Ramchal, are not only focusing on Torah as the ultimate value, but avas Hashem and yiras Hashem, dveikus, halacha bedrachav, modeling ourselves, that's certainly very, very important in the world of chassidus like Musar. But what's the difference in musr and chassidus? Look over, they're all trying to do the same thing. They're trying to make us better people. They're trying to cultivate avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. So first, step one in musr, they're emphasizing musr far much more. In chassidus, limud chassidus. Even within chassidus, we may have a separate kind of a seder in musr, but what's musr doing and what's chassidus doing? So here in verse number 8, the Baba Rebbe tells us from his perspective what the chilek is. The function and the ultimate goal is the exact same in all of those limuds. The pasuk as Elokim Yarei Ves Mitzvos of Tishmor Kizek Kol HaAdam, to fear Hashem, to do His mitzvos, because ultimately that is what man is about. The machlokes between, or the difference, to be more precise, between chassidus and musr is what is the best way to do that. Musr, in many ways, engages in an action of sor meira. What are my problems? I'm engaging in thoughts. Cheshbon nefesh. What are my problems and how can I fix them? Where are my midos not that great? Where are my midos much better? How can I develop them? How can I? But I have to deal with the real taking head on the problems that I have and trying to fix them. Chassidus is much more of an aseh tov kind of an approach. Limud chassidus is an uplifting approach. Limud HaChassidus is an approach which engenders simcha. It leads to a degree of joy. It's something where the way I'm going to improve through Chassidus isn't by taking head on all of my problems. It's not by focusing so much on this challenge and that challenge that I have. I struggle with Kaas right now. It's by Aseh Tov, doing more mitzvos and uplifting the person, to bring the person higher. The way some chassidim say it, and Bali Musar would not agree with this, the chilek is a different kind of a chilek. Musar deals with chitzonius, actions and midos. What are my real problems? How can I fix this? How can I fix that? Again, Bali Musar wouldn't say this. It's not Bava Trevi. This is some of the other chassidim say. Chassidus deals with panemius. Chassidus goes straight to the core. Chassidus goes to that place that we have inside where we feel the Ribono Shel Olam. I don't need to fix everything, every little thing here and every little thing there. Because when I learn chassidus, I elevate myself to be a different kind of person. The way that some say it also is a difference between ani in chassidus and ani in musr. In the world, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who am I? What's my job? I am who I am. My job is fixing who I am. That's the Baal Musar approach. I am who I am, and my job is to fix it. The approach in Chassidus is, I am who I am, and my job is to be mevatel myself to Hashem. My job is to lose some of the anochi, some of the ani. My job is to just get closer, to have that devekus. And when you have that devekus, when I connect to Hashem, I don't have to fix every small little prat. I don't have to work as hard on how I'm going to work on my kas. When I have real devekus with Hashem, I just have devekus with Hashem. I'm just closer. I don't need to fix it in all the same ways. Parentheses, the third model of the ani is the Soloveitchik's model, which is, I am who I am, and my job is to create a new me. My job isn't, for Yisrael Salanter, to fix the ani. For Chassidus, it's to be mevatel my ani. I just totally become one with God. And for the Rav, and you have this in some of the Rishonim also, it's about becoming a new person. And that's the goal. That's the goal of that. But we'll speak about some of that stuff next week. But Ad Kan Chassidus and Musar. What we've seen so far is as follows. One, they learn Musar. Two, in person. Three, we like Sfarim like Reishis Chachma, where it's based on Chazal, based on Zohar. It's much more direct, and it can be depressing. Not depressing, but it can go at you a little bit. It's not going to engender simcha, and that's good in limited quantities, even for the Chassidim, at least for some of them. And the last, which is the difference, Chassidus, for the Babich Rebbe, Chassidus is much more on the Aseh Tov and the Sormei Ra. And then for others, it gets into the core, and by bringing you to Hashem, and not focusing on just the actions and in a minor kind of a way. Ad Kan Chassidus, yes.
Is Musar, is their approach saying that, if you do the Aseh Tov, then the meal of the
Chassidus Sormei, or Musar?
The Chassidus.
So, the real point is that in Chassidus, they're emphasizing Musar, they emphasize both. They need you to deal with Sormei Ra, but really in limited quantities. At least many. We want you to deal with that, but it can be too depressing. Not looking for it. Okay, what we have right here so far, that's Chassidus. Now, why are people opposed to learning Musar in yeshivas? Or why were people opposed? A little bit of history. Musar movement starts. Yisrael Salanter, third generation of Elazhin. He wants Musar, he's starting a Musar movement. For him, the Musar movement is not that new. It's going back to what Judaism is always all about. And when he starts this model, there are at times tremendous opposition to being machnesed into yeshivas. There is a discussion as to how much the Musar movement originally was dedicated for Balabata. How much a lot of the goal of the Musar movement was to transform Balabata, to be people who are also developing a character, that kind of character development. It's also something that eventually, especially by Rabbi Yisrael's Talmidim, they want to start spreading into yeshivas. And they encounter enormous opposition. There are yeshivas that break up over this. Slobodka, we're dealing with a break over Limud HaMusar there. We have mices of yeshivas. There are chairs being thrown in yeshivas over whether there should be Musar or not. There are mices of Talmidim waiting for when the Mashkiach, the Baal Musar, which they don't like, gets up to speak. The Talmidim are then going to wait. Once he gets up to speak, Talmidim will then get up and walk out of the room to shtach the, this is not for us. We don't do this stuff. This is in the history of yeshivas, we have kolkoris going up. We have rumors being spread against the Baalei Musar. What they're doing is fake, and what they're doing is terrible. We have serious back and forth. There's a book there, it's more in the world of history, but if you look on the, I know where it is. There's a book put out by Emanuel Eckes and someone else, which is writings of people who learned in, it's a green tape, in Velazhin. Yeah, right there. Yeshiva Lita, right here. Fascinating reading, if you can make through the paper. It's put out on different people who learned in Velazhin and Tells, Slobodka, writing about their experiences there. And it was wild, some of these places. When the Muslim movement starts going, it gets very heated and very, very wild. There's a lot of tremendous opposition to what's going on here. Where does the opposition come from? We'll speak about four nekudas of where the opposition comes from. And then we'll end with a discussion of how it works out today. One, Dov Katz is one of the people who's published most about the Musar movement. He's a shtickle about Musar also, I think. he has multi-volume work called Tenuos HaMusar, which is about Musar personalities and things like that. He has a separate volume called Pulmus HaMusar, which is all about the fight over the Musar movement. The first thing he points out is that opposition to the Musar movement has to be understood in the following. Orthodox Jews, we don't do that well with change. Anything new, we get a little bit nervous about. All new movements always experience a degree of opposition. One level, we don't like new things that much. Hasidah starts, opposition. Musar starts, opposition. Bringing secular studies into yeshivas, opposition. On some level, we have just a stam in opposition to new things. You always have to know that when you're starting something, this is a yesod in life. If you're starting a project, if you want to do something which is going to influence the community in a meaningful way, so whenever you're arguing to challenge the status quo, there'll always be a bit of opposition. The way a Rebbe of mine once said it to me, if you think there's a problem that the elderly aren't being taken care of, so you decided you want to visit hospitals every day, no one's really going to care. That's a wonderful thing. You'll have no opposition. If you decide the Jewish community has to reallocate where its funds go to take care of more of elderly people, and you're arguing on a much more mass scale, a real sort of movement to reallocate how we do things, there'll be opposition. There's always opposition on some level to new things. That's point number one. That's something to know. But where does the opposition come from? Source number 10, with Meir Bar Ilan, the son of the Nitziv. Mivalaz Nad Yerushalayim, a couple volumes he wrote of his experiences and his memory. We're talking a little bit about what happened in Europe. He writes, you know, the opposition to Musar was the exact same opposition to the Haskalah when they wanted to bring in secular works into yeshivas. The opposition's technical. It has nothing to do with Musar being bad. Musar is wonderful. Musar is great. No one's arguing Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem aren't wonderful things. Just like he says, many people opposed to bring secular studies into yeshivas were not per se opposed to secular studies. They were fine if you wanted to learn languages. The opposition was an attempt at protecting what yeshivas were all about. Yeshivas, not just that the hierarchy is Talmud Torah, but it is Kim'at Kulo focused on Talmud Torah. Yeshivas are places where there's nothing else going on. We don't need other reasons to bring people into learning. Yeshivas are places, kol kulo, focused on rigorous Talmud Torah. Hashkeda mitzad echad, amelus, working hard on the one hand, the ideas of Torah mitzad sheni, and knowledge of Torah on the other hand, mitnesha inyan acher lo hayakayim b'yeshiva. That's what yeshivas are all supposed to be about. And whenever they want to introduce something into a yeshiva, be it secular studies, he writes, be it Musar, the opposition is there because you are challenging the fabric of yeshivas. Yeshivas are successful because they're kokulo focused on learning. And when you challenge that, when you start introducing other things, what you are really doing is creating a problem where it's not all about Talmud Torah. Now, the Bali Musar would say, well, it's a problem when it's all about Talmud Torah. And the pro-secular studies people will argue, and it's a problem when you're just focused on Talmud Torah. It diminishes your influence and your impact. It impinges on your ability to interact with the larger world. But that's the second. Again, we're still not yet that fundamental. One, we don't like new things that much. Two, we want to protect yeshivas. This is why, just Stam, as a whole, one of the challenges of places that put in a lot of Musar, or put in secular studies, is still maintaining a certain yeshiva kind of a feel. The yeshiva, the feel of a yeshiva often, is kol kulo learning. Places, like you go to a Hasidic place that learns a ton of Hasidic during the day, sometimes it doesn't have that same feel of what we're used to as far as a yeshiva. This is one of the reasons why sometimes when we go on to the next stage in life, there's often a challenge that we feel, not necessarily a bad challenge, but a challenge that we feel if you're in a yeshiva that also has secular studies, where suddenly it doesn't have the same feel, then maybe it is in all likelihood the right place to be. it is a wonderful thing. But as far as that pure yeshiva kind of a feel, so it feels a little bit different. And that was the opposition to the Musar movement. That was the opposition to a lot of things. And that's just something to know. But now we get to some more fundamental opposition. In the Tnuas HaMusar, he argues the opposition is about a yesodistic machlokas, what our purpose in this world is. What's a Jew's purpose in this world? We'll speak about it much more next week, about Chovos HaAdam Ba'olamo. He argues that there are two main approaches to Mishonim. We'll try and develop this next week. One approach to Mishonim understands, the primary function of our lives is to be Mekayim Mitzvos. Mitzvos are the center point. Because mitzvos are the center point, it's all about kiyum ha-mitzvos and learning about those mitzvos. Talmud Torah, Kekat Kulam, that's the primary function. All the other stuff of Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, those are just additional mitzvos. They don't get treated that differently. They don't require a separate kind of a limud. Ahavas Hashem may not require a different kind of limud than Hilchos Malveh Ulovah. They're all things I have to learn and mitzvos I have to do. It's a very mitzvos-focused approach to Avodas Hashem. The Ba'ali Musar, he suggests, have a very different model of what the goal is, if we saw last week in the Ramchal. The goal is not not just kiyum ha-mitzvos. That's one of the things on the list in that pasuk in Parshas Ekev. V'atam ma'asham al-kech ha-shol ma'imach kiyum li'ira. It's one of the things on the list. But for the Ba'ali Musar, the goal of, in many ways, life is elevating ourselves to become better people. Torah helps for that. Mitzvos help for that. But I also require serious investment in directly generating that, to do what I can in order to uplift myself. So part of the machlokas between the Ba'ali Musar and those that were more hesitant to Musar is a fundamental machlokas about what we are in this world to do. Are we in this world to be mekayim mitzvos and to focus on that? Or, alternatively, are we in this world to become more shalim people, to elevate ourselves? We'll see next week, we'll develop these ideas a bit more. We'll talk about a bunch of different models, the Ramchals and some others, what the real purpose of existence is. But here we have a more fundamental machlokas. The fourth issue we have, as far as this, is something that the Rav has in Halachic Men. Anyone read Halachic Men? I'm not sure what we're doing in Kaitzman, as far as Friday this year. I don't know. I thought maybe we'll do that. Halachic Man is the Rav describing Isha Halacha. How does a person who's pure Halacha relate to the world? A person's entire worldview is influenced by Halacha. How do they relate to things? It doesn't necessarily mean that this is the Rav saying this is how every single person has to always be, but Isha Halacha is the Rav describing for us Halachic Man. How does the person called Kulo influenced by Halacha relate to things? So he writes, Halachic Man, this is from the English translation, but it was overseen by the Rav. Halachic Man knows no fear or dread in the full sense of the term. Halachic Man, the Isha Halacha, is not scared. The Isha Halacha learns. The Isha Halacha is kona things in learning. The Isha Halacha gets bilious over things in learning. Isha Halacha is not that, he doesn't do well with being scared. Isha Halacha is more about the godless. It's more about confidence. It's more about knowing I can tackle these things. He writes that when Reb Chaim used to get very scared of Yom HaMisa, not the feeling that Halachic Man wants. So Reb Chaim would learn the Halachas, he would learn Maseches Oelos, Dine Tumas Meis, and that would be comforting, because he would make it, Halachic Man, he would make it not personal, but abstract. And he would conquer the topic. I now know what happens in Halacha when there's Misa. And I know the implications of that. And it becomes an abstract concept. It becomes something. Here, my father related to me that when the fear of death would seize hold of Reb Chaim, he would throw himself, his entire heart and mind, into the study of the laws of tense and corpse defilement. When a Halachic Man fears death, his sole weapon wherewith to fight this terrible dread is the eternal law of the Halacha. The act of objectification, learning those halachas, triumphs over the subjective terror or death. Halachic Man doesn't want to fear death. Bali Musar, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he's very much into that Yira, the Yira Sa'onesh. We quoted this earlier in the year, talking about Rabbi Yisrael. The Shaila of looking into the question of what's Gehenim like, so Rabbi Yisrael says, it doesn't matter what it's like, I know it's going to hurt. And that's all that matters for him. Rabbi Yisrael thinks it's effective to have Yira Sa'onesh. That's what it's about. To remember Yom HaMisa is something which for the Bal Musar, you want to think about it all the time. We have Maisa, some of the Bali Musar doing things like that. Maisa, the Bali Musar, sort of recreating their Bechina, Lachar Meiv Esrim. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to ask me, and what am I going to say? And having that kind of a give and take, focusing a lot on Yom HaMisa, focusing on the next world. Halachic man doesn't do that. It's not about being depressed. It's about learning the sugyas, that influencing how I perceive the world, and being happy with that. The way the Rav writes it here, the Maisa. When Rabbi Yitzhak Blazer comes along, he comes to Volozhin to introduce Musar. And Reb Chaim responds to him, saying, I'm not going to introduce Musar. He says, Musar is like medicine. It's very good for people who are sick. But for people who are healthy, it's destructive to take medicine. Reb Chaim says, we here in Volozhin, we learn Gemara B'Iyan, we learn classical Talmud Torah. That's what transforms us. That the Talmud Torah alone makes us better people. We don't need your medicine. Maybe where you're from, the people are sick. Maybe where you're from, they have to have that kind of medicine. But please don't invite us there. We're not interested in it. Halachic man, if he sins, says the Rav, it's all about halacha. I don't have to engage in cheshbon ha-nefesh. If I sin, I have a chiyuv of tshuva. I do my tshuva and I move on. I'm not focused on chet. I'm not focused on what caused the chet. If I messed up, chiyuv tshuva. It's all about halacha and what halacha does. That for the Rav, this is the amazing irony of today. When the Alter Rebbe, the chassid, is talking about Musar, he says, learn Reishis Chachma, it's going to bring some yagun va'anacha, shivron leib, it's going to break your heart a little bit. The chassid's telling you the Musar sometimes can break you, and that's a good thing once in a while. The Rav, Isha Halacha, is arguing, be careful learning Musar, it's going to mess with your simcha. Be careful learning Musar, it makes you a little bit too depressed. Melancholy, like it. It's not good to do. That according to the Rav, Isha Halacha, you're supposed to be not overly happy, but content with what you're doing. You learn, we tackle topics, we do not have to get so depressed. We do not have to... We do not have to learn in that kind of a way. The Rav responds, or maybe we'll say it for a little bit. Rav Kook has a somewhat similar critique here in source number 13. Sefer Musar Avicha. Rav Kook is critique. Rav Kook in a couple of places with Tzuriel critiques. You don't have the sheet. Sorry, I forgot to get the sheet out. I didn't make copies of it. Rav Kook in Musar Avicha has a similar critique of elements of the Musar movement. The way they used to learn Musar, spoke this before, is wild stuff. No one does this here. You learn Musar in a different... I don't know if anyone does this. Musar, you take your sefer into a different room. You have a niggun that you're going, and it's all about the emotional impact. You're chazuring the same line, the same Maimar Chazal, time and time again. It's all just intense chazara in the same room, by yourself, a separate area, and things like that. Rav Kook writes, and this is why one of the reasons why we're learning Mesilas Yesharim the way that we're learning Mesilas Yesharim. Cook writes, it doesn't have that much of an impact. Limud that just stirs you emotionally. You go to a really moving shmooze sometimes, and it gets you going emotionally. If Cook says, that long-term does not have that much of an influence. It impacts you emotionally, and the emotions wear down. If Cook writes, if you really want to be kone something, you have to learn it binachas. Limud Sifra Yira is so important, says Rav Kook. But you have to learn it. You have to be calm when you're learning it. Learn it like any other sefer. Learn it up like a real sefer. First thing to be kona it is to learn it like a real any other real sefer. After you've then been kona it, once I now know Shitas Ramchal and I've learned Shitas Ramchal, then I have a next step of internalizing it. Then I have another step of making it part of me. But the first step, says Rav Kook, part of the critique, again here for Rav Kook and also for the Rav, it's not the critique of, or at least part of the critique, it's not just Musar per se. Rav Kook's very into those Svarim. The Rav, part of the critique here, it's not Musar per se, it's the way that it's being learned. It's being learned just to, it brings you down a little bit. It's learned all about the emotional reaction. And there's not enough of learning it, I'm koneh it the way I am really supposed to be koneh it. Let's chazer what we saw and end with one nekuda about Bizman Hazeh. We saw so far, last week we spoke about the role of Musar. We spoke about, I'm trying to end about the same time as we normally do, and then we start a little late. We spoke last week about three ideas, three approaches to the role of Musar, the Ramchal, the Gran, and Chaim Velashna. This week we spoke about two other approaches to the role of Musar. We spoke about Chassidim, what role Musar plays for them, and we tried to understand why some were opposed to Musar. And when we saw about why some were opposed to Musar, some of them, for many, it's not a machlokas about whether the realm of Ahava Yira and religious development is important. That's pashut, that is development, that is important. It may not be the same place in the hierarchy, it may be a bit lower. There may be some hesitations about how you're supposed to learn Musar, if it's going to bring you down or not. But as a whole, they also value these parts of religious life. Where we at Bizman Hazeh, so you don't understand Shilir, but Mevashi Panatha, Ravaran Lichtenstein. They asked him what he thinks about the Musar movement, so he shared a couple of very interesting ideas. Just for us to think about the following. Number one, he says Pasher that Rabbi Saul Santer was right, Velazhen not bringing the Musar was very problematic. We have lots of people in Velazhen were doing shady things. Velazhen was not a place where everybody was all the time learning so sharp. And that Velazhen, he points out, even if some of the Talmidim did not need Musar, it's pretty clear that some of them did. And it's pretty clear that just the learning Gemara was not transforming people the way that it would have hoped. And again, if you go through this, it's not bad reading. You can learn more about it. The next thing he points out is that all of his Rebbeim, the Rav, Baron Soloveitchik, or Futner, and this is the dominant approach nowadays within Klal Yisrael, everyone agrees the realm of Yira, the realm of Musar, the realm of development beyond just Limud Halacha and Kiyum HaMitzvos is something which is very, very important. Everyone agrees to that. The only question which Rav Lichtenstein points out is that he's seen from his Rebbeim and the way that he does it, it may not have to be done in the exact same way that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter did it. There may be different styles nowadays for how it impacts us and how it influences us. It doesn't have to be, per se, the exact same thing. For Yisrael, it could be taking a Maimer Chazal and going into a room with a Niggin and going back and forth does it. For others, it may be going to a Shmooz and developing ideas about Hashkafa. For others, it may be going to a Tish. Left out that example. It may be going to a Tish. And maybe learning some chassidus, also left out, who knows. A printer's mistake. But as a whole, that this is part of our religious life, that religious life is not just about kiyum hamitzvot, becoming a better person, developing ourselves, uplifting ourselves. Where it's at in the hierarchy, people could debate. That it's a value seems to be clear across the board. We've had so far in Dr. Basile's Sharma, two Sharma at the role of Musar, based in Hakdama. Next week, we move on to the Ramchal's approach to Chovas HaAdam Ba'olama. What is our purpose in this world? I don't think it gets much more fundamental than that, but we'll talk about that next week. We'll speak about other approaches to the Ramchal also, and some of the Chidushim, and some of the implications of what he says. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.
What
do
you suggest?
Can I stop this? What do I do? Stop, or...?
I said basically everyone agrees that